24, my friend Jerry Costello II. He's the director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture and my guest this morning. Hey, Jerry, how have you been, buddy?
Good, Tom. How about yourself?
I think probably the same stuff you deal with, just on a different side of the coin. You know?
It's been an interesting year, and although there have been some silver linings, it will be nice to get into 2021, I believe.
And that is one of the reasons why when I heard and I got the phone call from the manager at the DeCoin State Fair, Josh Gross, that they had the lineup coming out for the DeCoin State Fair, he says, that's going to be coming out. We're going to get this. And I'll be honest with you, it surprised me. While at the same time, I found maybe a bit of comfort in the fact that the state of Illinois is voting a vote of confidence for next year, not just the fair, but everywhere, and the fair is symbolic in some ways.
Hey, Tom, I couldn't agree more. This is the announcement for DuCoin State Fair, and the lineup's coming out a couple of months earlier than it normally would. You know, I appreciate Governor Pritzker, Lieutenant Governor Stratton working with us to be able to roll this out early, get things lined up early, and really give people something to look forward to, as obviously we haven't been able to gather in quite some time with the vaccine rollouts. You know, we just thought it's important right now going into the holidays. Hopefully there's tickets that can be stocking stuffers and people have a reason to look forward to gathering at the DeCoin State Fair in Southern Illinois.
Now, here's the thing. I have done a lot of concerts and involved in everything that it takes to get a concert on, to the porta potties, to what type of liquor was needed, to what type of lunch, and how many towels you need, right? These stipulations and these riders on these contracts. And I kept thinking, you know, right now you sign a contract with someone with so many unknowns, you have to have COVID stipulations, and not only for the bands, but also an assurance that if somebody says, man, I want that front seat for REO Speedwagon, but you've got to be able to comfort them that they can get their money back too. You've still got to cover yourself.
You really do, Tom. And we've worked with Ticketmaster to come up with this arrangement. Our chief legal counsel, John Teefee, here has done a phenomenal job. Ticketmaster's been good to work with. The artists have been good to work with. Everybody's just, you know, ready to get back to work as far as making these concerts happen and give people something to look forward to and hopefully some certainty down the road.
So tell me about the DeCoin State Fair lineup. First off, what are you most excited about for the DeCoin State Fair lineup? If you only get to buy one ticket, Director, one ticket, one, which one do you buy?
So personally, I buy Riley Green, who he's the country music male vocalist of the year. The guy is a singer, songwriter, writes all of his own music. I'm a huge fan, have been for a couple of years, and I just think that he's really, really on his way up. This lineup, Tom, somewhat reminds me of 1989. Where we had George Strait, Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire. There's a couple of up-and-comers here in Hardy and Riley Green, which, you know, I think down the road, 10 years from now, these guys are going to be household names.
Well, when you look at this up-and-coming, because it wasn't that long ago, we didn't know who the heck Jamie Johnson is. Well, he's a Grammy nominee now.
You're exactly right, and the guy's absolutely incredible, as you're well aware. It's phenomenal. He's got his own style, which is nice in country music right now as well.
Yeah, I kind of consider him more of a southern rocker more than anything, I guess. REO Speedwagon.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah, REO Speedwagon, on the other hand. And people say, oh, I've seen REO. Yeah, ready to see him again. I remember the first time I saw them in the mid-70s. And, of course, they did their time in Carbondale. You know, you said Mary Lou's for biscuits and gravy, but they're coming back to DeCoin. They know their way around.
REO Speedwagon is just a classic rock band. I'm going to be 52 in February, and I would tell you they're one of my top favorites as far as classic rock bands. And right now, I would also tell you, first day out of the gate, I think they lead all ticket sales. So if that's a ticket that people are wanting, I would suggest that they try to book one before too long.
Yeah, I looked and I was hoping the opening act was Head East, but they weren't. Kind of hope my friend, I see my friend Roger make a buck.
That was more than a feeling, right?
Right, I couldn't do that. So you've got stand up comedy too. As long as he doesn't come out wrapped in a Confederate flag, he should be fine. But you knew the minute I did that joke who I was talking about.
I know exactly, and he's fabulous. If you look at this lineup all the way from starting out with In Vogue, which is, you know, for a little bit older crowd, you've got the REO Speedwagon, Hardy, who is amazing. And one thing people don't know about him, he's done a lot of songwriting for other groups. I think he's done some stuff with Luke Combs. I think he's done some stuff with Florida Georgia Line. You've got Ludacris, which, you know, everybody knows him. Riley Green, Jamie Johnson. We've got the ARCA races, the USAC races, Ron White. It's an incredible, incredible lineup that, I've got to give Josh Gross a lot of kudos for really helping us put this together.
Yeah, and Ludacris, I think you get a double bump off that because of his Fast and Furious series appearances. So you've got a rapper who's also literally a movie star.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so when it gets to this. So, tickets ready to go now, huh?
They're on sale as of December 15th, and you can get those tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Ticketmaster's been great to work with for us. And, I'm hoping that during this holiday season, and that's why we tried to do this early, give people something to look forward to and hopefully buy some stocking stuffers.
Yeah, I kind of wish Ariel wasn't on a Sunday night because I'm pretty much a nut about prep on Sunday nights getting ready for Monday, but maybe I can figure out a way to get Monday off or something along that line to be able to go.
Hey, you know, Tom, one thing that I want to mention real quick, if you look at ticket prices, we really worked hard to keep ticket prices affordable. We are very cognizant of the financial troubles that people have gone through in 2020. It's something that, you know, working with the, you know, Governor Pritzker, we wanted to make sure that these were affordable prices. And our ticket prices, I think, go from $15 to $35, depending on the show. But, you know, a lot of them are $20 and $25 for shows. So we're just hoping to pack the stands and get people out to the DuQuoin State Fairgrounds.
All right. Here's the thing, and because I'm responsible for physical maintenance at a couple of places that I've worked in the past, and it's when you don't use a place, it starts falling apart. It's the weirdest thing. If you were there, everything would be fine, but if you walk away for a month, it starts to fall apart. Well, you have to do basic maintenance and reviews the fairgrounds to bring it back up after a year of almost literal non-use. I mean, where are we with when it comes to basic maintenance at the DuQuoin State Fair?
So there's a little bit of basic maintenance that has to be done, Tom, but we've really, really worked hard at trying to keep things up on the fairgrounds. And I would also say that, you know, the administration in general has worked with us to make sure that you know, we're putting monies into the DuQuoin State Fairgrounds. So I think people are going to be extremely surprised and happy with the presence and what things look like at the fairgrounds.
It's interesting. When the roads were done, and this is a number of years ago, Jerry, but the guy from E.T. Simon's Asphalt Division says, I want you to come to the DuQuoin State Fair with me. I want you to show. He was so proud of the work they'd done, crowning the roads so they drowned, so they drained properly, so when people were walking, then, you know, they could stay dry. But you look at that work that they were so proud of a short years ago, and there's some potholes in that now. So I know they're there, pretty big ones too. So.
They are, and Tom, we're continuing to work on roads. To be honest with you, we've done things just as simple as taking down some of the dead trees that have been around the area. Really just working on maintenance. As you know, it's a large facility, and there's a lot to be done on a daily basis there. And Josh has worked at keeping things up. We're working right now at hopefully replacing some of the light fixtures, what have you, going with the newer lights. And there's just a number of little things, some of the nuances of maintenance. but we're keeping up with them. And as you're well aware, I'm from Southern Illinois, so the DuQuoin State Fairgrounds are something special to me, as I know they are for everyone in Southern Illinois. And we'll continue to maintain them as best we can, and to use the facility on an ongoing basis.
You know, it's interesting. Ameren's got some really interesting deals when you redo the parking lot lights and the lights down the road. So there's a pretty good deal. I just learned about it. Hey, I want to change gears on you a minute. You know, we had, you and I had a pretty good time talking about the lineup, because I think we're giddy at the prospect of some type of return to the things we enjoy. Being separated from those causes a bit of grief, for lack of a better word. But, you know, a lot of things have gone on that maybe have not been talked about as much as they should when it comes to your role, the rest of the Department of Agriculture's role in keeping the food rolling into the stores from meat processing plants, and on the list goes. It's not talked about often. We talk about truckers. But, you know, this role and a rough start to the beginning is one of the more important things you do. And it's not talked a lot about. But, boy, people enjoy being able to pick up that piece of, you know, pork tenderloin at Kroger, don't they?
Tom, we call it from farm to fork. And I would say that one of the silver linings for agriculture as far as the pandemic in 2020, we did go through some rough spots. You know, those were tough things to get through, but people became more cognizant of where their food comes from. The relationship between rural Illinois and urban Illinois, as far as, you know, feeding masses, became something that was paid attention to by people on both ends of the spectrum, because, you know, the need to work together just became that much more apparent. So I really do view a lot of the troubles that we went through at one point in time, because of employees going down with COVID, what have you, in some of these processing facilities. For a short time, we were probably at about 50% capacity. And now we're up into the high 90s. You know, these processing plants have been working overtime and putting on extra shifts. You know, so knock on wood, a lot of that's behind us. But people really became aware of their food source.
And I think also the availability, because the Illinois Department of Agriculture also helps with food assistance programs too. Those have been crucial.
Very much so. I will tell you another thing that, you know, kind of became an area that people paid more attention to is local food sources.
Yeah.
Local fresh foods, farmers market type facilities became extremely important to people trying to access fresh foods. Some of the local meat lockers or meat processing facilities, these small plants that are dotted all over the state of Illinois, but most of them, I would say, or a lot of them anyway, in Southern Illinois, those became extremely important, and people built some new relationships with a lot of those small processors that maybe they didn't have in the past.
And I got to tell you, I just before and it was literally the weekend before the lockdown order, and I went to the farmer's market in Carbondale. Fresh mushrooms from Flyaway Farms. I met a guy from Tunnel Hill, Illinois, who does pasta really good. I had rosemary linguine or something I bought from him. And then I meet this woman who's a little bit older, and she's got this incredible baked goods. She's on my mind every day since I met her in March. And I asked her how she was doing. She says, well, I'm doing pretty good as long as I can keep my husband out of it because he eats our profits. And I said, so that's pretty important. She says, our ability to go to these farmers markets are what keeps us from requiring government assistance. We just need that little extra money. We go to all of them. When we leave this one, we're going to another one. And I cannot help but she was not smiling, joking about this. She was serious. What we do here keeps us off the government dole. And she's been on my mind a lot.
You know, Tom, you're exactly correct. The other thing is, when you're going to a farmer's market, and maybe you're dealing with somebody who lives 20 miles away, 30 miles away, 40 miles away, you have that sense of doing business with somebody from the Southern Illinois community, not one of the major companies that you know people deal with all across the country. So, you know, those dollars and those monies, you know, are going right back into the local economy.
Right. It's a different kind of dollar is what I call that. And it's special dollar, too. Now, got another, before I let you go, and I know I'm keeping you long, but, you know, I would have never thought 3 years ago even that you could walk into a store, in a recreational marijuana store, with a mask on. But here we are, you know, and I was talking to what he called himself, a bud tender. I was talking to him. He says, a lot of religious folks feel it's okay to come in because they got a mask now, so we've really seen business tick up. I'm like, really? How do you know that? Because they tell me. And people of all ages, he says, you would be constantly surprised every day who our customer is. Sometimes it's somebody's looking for pain. Maybe somebody else just wants to have a good time. He says it's an entire spectrum that we see inside of our stores. And you've seen the success monetarily manifesting itself in our coffers.
Tom, we absolutely have. To the tunes of, you know, tens of millions of dollars that are going into the state coffers from cannabis, you know, both medicinal and now adult use. So, you know, the expansion of is something that we will, I believe, continue to see help fiscally in the state of Illinois. And one thing that I would like for people to pay attention to as well that sometimes flies a little bit under the radar is hemp in the state of Illinois and what that means and more importantly, what it means right now, what it can mean to agriculture in this state in the future. I don't doubt that it could become one of the larger cash crops for the state. You know, we're number one in the country in production of soybeans. We're number two in the country in production of corn, number four in the production of pork, number one in pumpkins, number one in horseradish. I really believe that down the road, and it, you know, maybe in the somewhat near future, that hemp becomes one of those top cash crops for the state.
All right, the people that I know that I've interviewed on hemp production talk about need for processing in the state of Illinois. Now, I think one downstate processor exists, but I wouldn't swear to it. But this is something that's been brought to my attention. We're growing it, then we send it out. We need to be processing it in the state.
And that is exactly where our focus is right now and where it's heading. And we're working with the processors and, you know, actually getting the hemp to market for a processing.
Is there a concern that marijuana sales, not growth, but marijuana sales will be monopolized? I mean, there's one corporation in particular that's really big on these sales. And, you know, the governor was talking about equity and needing to spread the wealth around. But are we seeing a pooling of big money in marijuana in Illinois? And does that need to be rectified in some way?
So, you know, the answer there is we are trying to make sure that that's rectified and trying to make sure that it's not happening.
Yeah. Jerry, hey, I know I kept you longer than I should have. I'd say probably somebody's trying to call you right now would be my guess. But I really appreciate
you. It's another interview, actually, Tom.
Right. So is there, hey, before I let you go, anything else you need to talk about before I let you go?
No, I just, look, as I said before, a silver lining in this whole pandemic scenario is for agriculture in the state of Illinois, people are more cognizant of where their food is coming from. You know, we've got so many wonderful producers in the state. We do a ton of processing. You know, we lead the country in processed foods. And the fact that more and more people realize that and understand that has been somewhat of a silver lining to the pandemic. But have a wonderful holiday season, and I look forward to visiting with you again.